Hey guys, my name is John McGee, and I have got two students here in the student ministry, two in college. I brought a picture of my family here, and so this is us. Dawson is 22 now. He's about to get married to Lauren, who is right next to him. Madison is a junior at Auburn. Over here, Hudson is a senior at Pierce, and Emmy is a junior, and she'll be at Covenant next year. It's my wife, Pam, of 26 years, my high school sweetheart. Some of you guys, right? Don't play around. You think it's just games, and you could end up with this person for the rest of your life. So choose wisely, okay? But I'm leading this session pretty much because our family is awesome. And we don't fight. We only serve each other. We sit around most nights. We just kind of sit around and read the Bible and pray for the nations, and just look to like genuinely serve each other. And all right. And so you guys know that's just not true. And when you look at the whole Instagram scene, everybody takes about 100 photos and they put one up and say, that's what it looks like to be us. And you know it's not true. No, we do love each other. We really do. We're sinners, and we've got all kinds of mistakes that we've made, and we've wounded each other, and we've disappointed each other, and we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun. And we've had a lot of adventures. We saw a baseball game in all 30 of the Major League Baseball parks. So we did that over 5 years and made some great memories. We had some amazing times, like some really amazing times. We went to Italy and got all of our stuff stolen one time, including our passports and money. That was fun. And so we've loved each other, and we've also had trips where we completely melted down, man, like where people were, you know, no one threw a punch, but they thought about it, and that's us, okay? So today we're talking about what does it look like for you students, right, in your family? What's your responsibility? What's God's design? And the place that we would go, we always want to start any discussion with God's word, okay? So Ephesians 6, we've got that here. Okay, there's lots of passages. Here's a good one. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. Okay, so your job as students really is children are two things. Okay, children, that doesn't, your kids, I'll say students because that kind of feels demeaning sometimes, doesn't it? Okay, you got two jobs. One, obey. You're supposed to do what your parents tell you to do. It's pretty clear. There's no fancy Greek word for that. That's what obey means, obey, okay? And then honor would be to respect them, to hold them in high regard. You don't look down on your parents. You don't demean them. You don't talk disparagingly about them to either their face or to behind their back. Like, these are my parents. I honor them, okay? Now, your parents' job, this is for fathers, but it would encompass moms and dads. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, right? Like, don't be harsh on them. Love them. Parents, your job is to love your kids. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction in the Lord, and train them. So parents, you have there's more than that, but at the end of the day, there's kind of two big jobs. One, they're supposed to love their kids, and two, they're supposed to train them up. Deuteronomy 6 talks about training up kids. And everywhere they go, when they wake up, when they sit around, when they walk around, when they go to bed at night, they're supposed to teach the things of God to the kids. That's the way it's supposed to go, right? That's literally the way it started. And so I don't know if you guys have seen a lot of these things on the internet or in an Instagram feed, but I brought some families, like how it started, how it's going now. So you probably, I don't know if you've seen this one. This is one of my favorites here. Have you guys seen this one? This one is like super famous. So that's how it started. And then next one is how it's going, okay? Now, I don't know. These guys might have actually put that on the Christmas card, right? And if you go down the rabbit hole, there are a million. I brought two other ones where kids, if you can see the one down here, mom is smiling big, and little Susie is just about to hit her head on the concrete down there. Here's another one coming up. I love that one. We don't post those up. And then there's some, like, there's really no excuse. They're just dumb. And, nothing bad happened. It was just a really bad idea from the beginning, okay? So back to the verse. this is the way it's supposed to be, right? But we know oftentimes this is not it, right? That's not it, and it's hard. And so what do you do if, because wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be amazing to be a part of a family where, man, students were honoring and obeying their parents all the time? You know, yes, Father, you know, teach us the things of God. You know, we hold you in such high regard. And moms and dads, they only loved and they only trained. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, that's probably just not your experience, right? It's not your experience. It wasn't mine. I became a believer when I was 16. And had to figure out, what does it look like to do this in a family that didn't even follow Christ? How do I love and how do I honor my parents when they wouldn't obey the same scriptures? They came to faith later, which is really fun, while I was in high school. But initially, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to figure this out. So I want to give you four things you can do, okay? And since your parents aren't here, I can't talk to them. You're here, I can talk to you. And right now, my hunch is, when I said there's something wrong in the family, it's not what it is, who did you think of? You thought of your siblings, your sisters, and who?
Brothers.
And your parents, right? You said, man, there's something wrong in the family. The problem is my siblings, the problem is my parents. How many of you thought about you? Yeah, a couple of you. Not many, not enough, okay? So let me share a verse with you. And something I think that will be helpful to you, okay? If you want to do all that, it's not working the way it is. Next slide, if you would. I would encourage you to do something first. Draw a circle. Draw a circle around you. If you want to have a loving, kind, peaceful family, draw a circle around yourself and make sure that everybody inside that circle is loving, kind, and peaceable. You've got total control over you. You can't control your siblings. You can't control your parents. And so someone has to go first, and it should be you. It should be you. You've got maximum control over you. Jesus, when he was talking about there being issues, you know, within relationships, he said, so oftentimes what happens is we think first about our siblings or our parents. And if I ask you, hey, tell me some things that your siblings do that drive you crazy, right? Hands would shoot up. And I said, hey, tell me some of the ways that your parents have failed you. Hands would shoot up, and I'd say, hey, what about you? Tell me about the ways that you're not a great son, great daughter. You go, there's a couple things. I don't know, maybe if I thought of something. That's just not the way we think. And Jesus says, in any relationship, the first person you think about changing is yourself. Okay? He talked about specks and logs. We want to get the specks out of our sibling's eye, out of our parents' eye. We get the log out of our own eye, and then we draw a circle around ourselves. Okay? So, with your parents, they might be unreasonable. They might escalate. You know, when you come in, they start yelling. That's not the question about what should they do. The first question is, what should you do? Okay. What would it look like to live peaceably? What would it look like to work on myself? What would it look like to show up and go, as far as I can tell, I'm honoring God in that. That's always, always your first step, okay? And then asking for forgiveness if you need to. And my 22-year-old son, we're planning weddings, and lots of money is changing hands and being moved around and wiring, and lots of plans with lots of people. And we kind of got sideways a little bit. We got sideways a little bit, which was really, really scary to me. Here we are about to launch this guy, and he and I are at odds. And I was so proud of him. He came to Pam and I, and he said, hey, can we hop on the phone? And he said, I want to ask your forgiveness for some of the things that happened last night, some of the things that I said. Will you please forgive me? All right. And later we talked about some of the things that Pam and I could have done better, but just that model of going first and asking forgiveness, he drew a circle around himself, and it changed, guys, it changed everything. It changed everything in that conversation. You have a lot of power in the way you relate to your parents, okay? Number two, initiate relationally, okay? And I love Romans 5:8. We talk about it a lot of times with salvation, but I think about it in terms of relationships. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? While you were kind of giving God the Heisman, while you weren't seeking God, while you were disobeying God, while you were just kind of nonplussed by God, he came after you, It's an astounding verse, okay? So with your parents, if it's not going well, I would encourage you to draw a circle on yourself. I would encourage you to initiate relationally with your parents. My kids do a great job with this. My youngest daughter, she's a reader, and she comes and always and says, hey, Dad, will you read this book with me? Because she knows that it's a connection point for us. One of my kids loves to travel, and they know that I love that. And they said, Dad, can we go on this trip? Can we go hike this mountain? And they want to have fun, but really it's a bid to connect with me. One of my kids, it's food. He loves to eat, and he knows I do too. And so he'll always say, Dad, there's this new place we should go connect. One of them, it's sports. But whatever it is, whatever your parents are into, or whatever you could invite them into, right, you initiate. And so oftentimes what happens is we kind of fold our arms and go, you know what, it's their job as the parent to initiate with me. They're the ones that need to build the relationship, and you can do so yourself, especially if you're a Christian, right? We know how to go first because God went first with us, and we can initiate. So I'd ask you, what would it look like to initiate relationally with your parents? What would it look like for you to take ownership in the relationship? It'll have a lot to do with how things go in the future. Okay, so draw a circle, initiate relationship, and then third, communicate kindly. So I've done that, John. I've drawn a circle around myself. I've repented of the things that I need to. I try to own my part. I'm actually initiating with my parents, you know, whatever it is that they do. Do they go run? Go on a run with them. Do they watch a certain thing? Do they have a hobby? Hey, will you teach me that? Parents would love to teach you whatever it is that they're into, okay? But if we're doing that and it doesn't go well, what do you do? Well, you can go to them, okay? You can talk to them. And you can say, whatever you say, I would do it kindly. You could walk in and you could scream and yell and say, you guys are completely unreasonable. And it's frustrating me, it's making me angry, and I'm sick of it. That's a way. That's not what Scripture would ask us to do. The tone is as important as the words, guys. And so Proverbs 15:1, it's just such a great one. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You want a good metaphor? What happens when people start yelling at each other and kind of upping the ante? You guys know what an A-frame ladder is? Like a big giant wooden ladder? You guys know that? So we'll use this illustration with couples. So let's say with your parents, they're a bit unreasonable and they raise their voice or they kind of ratchet up the consequences and you're like, huh. I'm not going to take that. And you say, you know, you're a lousy parent. You don't know what you're doing. I don't like being your kid, right? So whatever that is, they take a step up the ladder and you're on the other side and you take a step up the ladder. And then they say, you know what? You're lazy. You don't do your part. And you say, you know what? I mean, you're absent and you're never around. And they say, you make bad grades. And you say, you know what? I don't even like being with you. Boom, 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 boom. And everybody's taking a step up. You get to the very, very top. What happens if this ladder was twice as tall and you were on one side and your parents were on the other and you're all the way at the top? What would happen? You both would fall off and you both would get hurt. Right? And it would hurt for a long time. And that's the way escalation works. This is different. Hey, Mom and Dad, can we talk? Is this a good time? I want to make sure I own my part. But there's some things I'd love to talk about. Are you guys open to that? That's so different than you guys are terrible parents, because there will only swing back and a gentle answer turns away wrath. So how you go to your parents has every bit to do with how it goes, probably even more so than what you say. So I'm frustrated with this. Some of these rules, they feel a little bit unreasonable. The ways that you're relating to me feel controlling. Could we talk about that? Okay, and then what do you do if you do that and things don't work? Well, I didn't put this slide in there, but you keep praying. You keep praying to see your part. You keep praying that God would change their heart. But fourth, if you need to, you widen the circle. And Matthew 28 gives us a model of that. We go to that person. We get some others. And then you might take your siblings. And then, but I would always go to my small group leader. I'll go to my small group leader. I think my mom and dad are unreasonable. They're mean, and maybe they're abusive. If you think you're in a situation where you're being abused, either physically, sexually, or emotionally, you tell your small group leader, okay? And you tell them today, and you widen the circle. You're supposed to love, you're supposed to honor your parents, but you're never supposed to be okay with sin happening, okay? So you widen the circle. Does that make sense? Okay? Draw a circle, initiate relationally, respond kindly, right? Speak kindly, and then widen the circle. Okay, so that's with your parents. Okay, that's enough. We'll keep moving. Okay, but what about your siblings? What about if we're trying to make peace at home, and you share a room with your brother or your sister, and they drive you nuts, or they misbehave, and so your mom and dad have to spend all the time with them, and they don't have any time for you. Or they buy your siblings new stuff, and they break it, and they keep getting new stuff, and you take care of yours. Whatever your thing is, you've got a scenario about what's wrong with your siblings, okay? This is going to sound really, really familiar. Here's what I think you should do. Number one, anybody guess? Ignore them. That's not the strategy, buddy. Okay. Number one, draw a circle. Draw a circle. I'll bet your siblings drive you crazy. Okay. It's kind of universal. It happens. And you own your part, right? Everyone says you share a room and their stuff is everywhere. You make sure that all your stuff is picked up. They respond unkindly to you, you make sure that you respond kindly. They don't ever initiate a text with you, you initiate a text. Whatever it would be for you to go, I'm doing my part here. I really, as long as it depends on me, I'm drawing a circle around myself. Number two, you initiate relationally. Okay, do not, it is a gift to have siblings. It's a gift. Mr. Ignore them. Yeah. Okay. It is. We all don't feel like it's a gift. I've been there, man. My brother and I, at one time, we got in a fight. I don't know if I ever shared this publicly. We got in a fight. I'm 4 years older than him. I shoved him underneath the couch. I took him somehow and like jammed him under there. We would fight like cats and dogs. And I jammed him under there and then got on top of him and torqued him, and I broke his leg. In there when we were kids. And the rest of the story, I talked to my brother's name is Chris. I talked to Chris probably 3 to 4 times a week now. He lives in Kansas City. And we laugh, we share what's fun, what's hard, and we pray for each other. You believe that? Like where it was like a cage match at my house. When we were little, before I became a Christian, it was just, we'd come in, we'd put our stuff down, and we would just start fighting. I think we'd get a snack, and then we'd start fighting until my parents got home. That's just what we did when we were little, and it's brutal. And we both became believers and thought, we can't do this. We got to work on the relationship to initiate relationally, whatever it would look like for you. So here's the thing we did with our kids. You can, take any of this that you want. But one of the things that's important to us is that our kids, they're going to be best friends when they leave the house. We can't really control it, but we wanted to set a scenario up where that could happen. And so for about 4 months, this was the rules of engagement at our house. Every day, they had to hug each other for 3 seconds at least, right? So junior high boy, high school girl, like the whole, all the matches had to happen for 3 seconds, okay? And they had to say that they loved each other. I go, look them right in the eye, I love you. Imagine that? Sixth grade boy, looking at his high school sister and vice versa. And like, Dad, it's weird. And I was like, I don't care. If you want to eat, you do this, okay? That's how it's going to go. And then the other thing we did was we paired them up each week, and they would go on a date. They would just spend time together, and we would pay. And so I was like, you swipe my credit card, you guys can go. It doesn't matter. You can go to Chick-fil-A and grab a sandwich and just talk. Here you go. You want to go get a smoothie? You want to go whatever? If they couldn't drive, we'd drop them off. And I just wanted them to spend time together. Okay. Now, your parents, it's a whole lot easier if your parents drive that, but you can do some version of that. And so now that my kids are two in college, two at home, we've got a family group text, and that thing is on fire most days. And people are just laughing. They're talking about what's fun, what's hard, pray for me. And they all made that happen. They initiated relationally with each other, okay? So whatever that would look like, they communicate kindly, right? I refereed so many fights with my kids. And I said, hey, you can absolutely talk about things that are frustrating to you, that are hard, but you're gonna do so kindly, okay? And then widen the circle. So if you've gone to them, you don't get any traction, I would tell your small group leader to pray with you, and then I'd go to your parents and say, hey, this is hard. I've tried. I think I'm getting the log out of my own eye, and I'm not seeing any traction. Okay. Let's see. I think I have got not very long, about 9 minutes. Got something I want to close with. But questions, comments, reactions, disagreements with anything I just said. Yeah, I think A, you pray, and B, you widen the circle. And if something is detrimental, harmful, you get really, really noisy. And if it's something is a matter of preference, you see that somehow God wants to grow you in that. We've got some my kids have so many different friends. There's one family, man, they are strict. Really, really strict. This girl got in a fender bender. Mom and dad made, she had to pay for all of it. She has to work. Their family is loaded. And she has to work 20 hours a week. And so when all the kids are at my house and it's, they're planning on staying there till midnight, 1, she has to go home at 10. And I don't know why. She's talked to her parents about it. That's they're doing the best they can. I know that. That's what parents are doing. I know it seems like they wake up trying to make your life miserable. It feels that way sometimes. They really are trying to do the best they can. And I've appreciated the way she goes, hey, you know what? I got 15 minutes till I need to go home. She goes home. And God's somehow working in her. But if mom and dad were being, they were beating her, or things like that, I would never tell her, hey, it's time for you to go home. I would jump in there with her. Okay, so pray, and widen the circle, and God changes people over time. Grace plus truth plus time. What else? Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
What if you don't have siblings?
What if you don't have siblings? This guy would say you're lucky. You're just blessed, right? You want to make sure that you're dialing in with your parents. And then also, there's probably, you could be a big sister to somebody that's close to you. And little kids always look up to kids who are older than them. You guys know that, right? And so go be an awesome big sister to a kid who never had a big sister or a big brother. And use your time. Yes, ma'am. Hi, Miss Becca.
How do you know the difference between what's preference and what something you actually need to bring up?
Yeah. How do you know what's preference? I don't like having a 10 o'clock curfew. And then what is it where, hey, this is abusive? I would talk to your small group leaders about that. I'd pray, and then I would talk to your small group leaders about that always, okay? Or someone else that you trust. Great question. What else? Yes, sir.
What would be a good approach for unbelieving
parents? Yep. Okay. A good approach for unbelieving parents. So Scripture is really clear. If someone's not a believer, the way you relate to them can win them over. Okay, and that works for husbands, wives who are not believers, those kinds of things. And so you want the way that you obey, the way that you love them to be attractive to them. You want them to want the God that you have, to follow the God that you follow, to read the scriptures that you follow. And then you're patient. And realize that non-believing parents are going to do things that non-believing parents are going to do. And my parents, I remember when I was a believer and I was like, this is what God's word says. You guys aren't doing that. I was so disappointed in them. And in hindsight, I shouldn't have been surprised. That's they're doing what non-believers do. So, yes, sir.
How would you help somebody, like an extended family member with
how would you help them? Give me two more sentences. Tell me what you mean by that. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you just love them. You encourage them. You look to help and share the things of God with them. Scripture that encourages you. Be kind, and be part of the solution, not the problem. Would be some things. Okay. Let me share a story with you real quick, and we'll close. So, you guys ever done something like really, really dumb? And when you look back on like this far in your journey, and you did something really stupid, and you're like, man, I'm gonna get it for this one. Like I'm gonna pay. And maybe you did, or maybe you got away with it. Maybe you should have gotten busted and you didn't. One time, I lived in Germany when I was a kid, and we climbed up to this castle and started chunking these rocks to see how far we could throw them. And seconds later, we heard ksh, 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 and we were hitting a greenhouse down way, way down the hill. And we looked down there, and we saw the guy, like we could see it, just like a little ant. He gets in his car, and he starts driving up to the castle where we were, and he got us there. And we just denied the whole dang thing. I was like 13 years old. I didn't, and I'm not a very good liar, but that day I turned into a great one. So, but that kind of thing, okay? I wasn't a believer, so don't judge me. So my kids one day, my two boys, they did something really, they were, it doesn't matter what the thing was, but I was ready to end their already short life. I was so, so mad. I just had wrath like bubbling up in me, and I knew enough, if I dealt with it then, like it was gonna get ugly, you know? So I did the proverbial, hey, go to your room. And I'm walking around the house like, how dare these ungrateful, disobedient little brats, you know, everything they have, I've given to them. And I'm about to take it out on them. Like, they are going to pay for what they've done. Okay? I walked in and I said, hey guys, they know they've done it. They know they're going to get it. Hey guys, do you know what mercy is? And I got no response. They're just looking at me like I'm going to say something wrong and it's going to make it worse. So, no, Dad, we don't know what mercy is. And I said, okay, well, mercy is when we deserve something. We deserve wrath. We don't get that, and we kind of get off scot-free. Would you guys like mercy? And they were really nervous. They thought it was a trick question. Like, man, if we say it wrong, we're going to make it worse. And so they looked at each other and like, yeah, we like mercy. And I go, great. You guys, both of you, you get mercy. And everything changed in the room. And I said, hey, so I said, I'm not going to discipline you for what you did. You deserve it, but I'm not going to give it to you. And I said, hey, do you guys know what grace is? And now they're excited. Now they're playing along and like, no, you know, Father, what is grace? What's this other word you have for us? Please tell us about it. And I said, grace is when you get something that you don't deserve. Rather than wrath, and you don't get that, that's mercy. But when you deserve something bad, and instead you get love or you get favor, that's called grace. Would you guys like grace? And they're like, yes, Father, we would love grace. It's like, grace to you. You guys get your shoes on. And we went to Brahms, and we got double scoops. And we sat there, and we just talked about the goodness that mercy is to receive, and the wonder that grace is to receive from God, right? And they also received it from their dad. Now, wouldn't you like to be responded to that way every time you mess up? Wouldn't that be amazing? Okay. And I told them, I said, hey guys, there's another word. It's called justice. And so the next time they messed up, they go, Dad, we want mercy and grace. And that's why I said, guys, there's another verse, another concept in the Bible. It's called justice. And today we're going to get that. And but we would all like to have mercy and grace. And I won't read you the passage, but Ephesians 2 talks about God's relationship with us. And it says that we deserved wrath. We deserved wrath. We deserved the wrath of God. You think about that? Forget a playground bully. Think about God coming after you to inflict harm on you. That's what we deserve. And instead, we get mercy and we get grace. I mean, it should take your breath away when you read it, starting in Ephesians 2, verse 2, and you read it on down. I mean, it's a staggering thing. We want to receive that. Wouldn't it be great if your parents gave you mercy and gave you grace? And guys, I would encourage you to draw a circle around yourself and give your parents mercy and give them grace. Mom and Dad, I'm for you. You're going to do stuff imperfectly, but I'm just for you. I'm going to overlook minor offenses. I'm going to show you mercy and grace. Okay? Awesome. Draw a circle. Draw a circle. Initiate relationally. Speak kindly. Widen the circle. Okay? Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day, and we will see you around church, okay? Thanks.